Hi Sandra, thank you for making it possible to again record another story. This one is about democracy, and actually it's about the decline, decay and collapse of democracy. It's a text which I recently wrote. It actually connects to another story, which is that of four-dimensional government, which I'm still unfolding. So I might like to tell about that as well soon, because the story of 4D government has part of the key to understanding the collapse and decay of democracy. Just to briefly recapitulate the four dimensions of government, which parallel the development of the human from baby to child to adolescent to adult. Likewise, there are four levels of government, which are those of dictatorship, oligarchy, democracy, and autarky. At the baby level, everybody is treated by the dictator as a baby. They have nothing to say, and that's the complement of the baby needing help and support in everything. So the parent basically needs to take full control because the baby is incapable of doing that. Growing up, the baby becomes a child, self-standing, able to do some things, but not able to feed them, to find food, although they can feed themselves, to create shelter, or although they know their way around in shelter. So in the oligarchy, it's like a mommy and a daddy dealing with children. The children already see that there are different ways to look at things and that you can help get help in more than one way, but they're not able to really negotiate that. In adolescence, they then realize that they become autonomous, that from being independent as a baby, self-standing and a child, they now learn to move around in their environment. They can do chores and take care of themselves in many different ways. But there are some things which they cannot yet do, which has to do with how do you do that together with others in groups. That then comes in the adult version, where they, as adults, with other adults, create and optimize the quality of their life. The story of four dimensions of government then elaborates that, and it also shows that once you understand how government works, that government is actually something that works by itself. It is an understanding in itself that the government is essentially a replay of what happens in our brain, in our body, thus in our consciousness, in our life, and that government is something that already pre-exists. We already know how it works within us because we learn to self-govern. And then, as described by Bert Verveen, everything that works within us, we also experience between us. Relationship between people are based on relationship between cells. So with that understanding, the form of government, which is normal and natural, is exactly that way in which consciousness integrates everything that we do in our body. That also means, and that's again where we can use the understanding of Bert Verveen about system pathophysiology, that the cell communication actually is the whole pattern of how everything connects together. That is the dynamic of government. We experience it within us, but when things go wrong, we experience it in sick forms. So instead of an autarky, we will have a democracy that can decay into an oligarchy, that can decay into dictatorship. And it is that descent or that decline which in the body we experience as the cascade of disease from health to adaptation to compensation to decompensation, which is so neatly worked out by Bert Verveen. And we can actually see how the feed-forward feedback loops decline and collapse. And then we can also see how from health to ill to sick to death or near death, the system decays, not just for government, but also for one of those forms of government, democracy. It is democracy that I will be talking about now, the decline and decay of democracy. And I like the wordplay which is possible for that, because you can see that in the wordplay of democracy, to democracy, to democracy, to demoncracy, you sort of have the same word seemingly there all the time. And you can see how deceptively similar the words are, even though what's going on is very, very different. That is so neatly portrayed and hidden in that word game. And that's what I want to play with in this presentation. The core of the issue is that democracy is not a complete form of government. And the forms of democracy which we know are incomplete. Most of them are sick. Most of them are very sick. And actually, very many of them are not healthy at all for anybody involved. So in the wordplay, that then becomes evident, visible, tangible. Democracy is the ideal form of government, of people, as it is said, for the people and by the people. But that means that everybody would be governing. You cannot have government by others if those others do not know you. So in the ideal form of democracy, you would be representing yourself. If you can't go, somebody else will be representing you instead. But the other one will really, truly and honestly know you. And they will truly and truthfully represent you, stand in for you. And they will not misrepresent you. And in most cases of government, that is not the case. So the pure form of government, which would actually be that of, let's say, King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table, and then everybody involved in that society stands around the round table. They all have their time to talk, and essentially the metaphor of Camelot and the Knights of the Round Table is a representation of the zodiac, which has also been represented by the apostles and Jesus. So replace Jesus by King Arthur and replace the Knights of the Round Table by the elements of the zodiac. Then you can see that in a democracy, you stand at the table and the coordinator stands in the middle. Integrates, make sure that everybody can speak, that everybody's heard, that nobody monopolizes the conversation, that the silent ones speak up too, so that, as David Bohm discovered for the Algonquin Society, everybody can speak up, everybody knows what the others are saying, there's no need for people to reflect on what the others say, because all know what the others have said. Nobody attacks or denounces or tries to reinterpret what somebody else has said because they already said it how they want to say it. So in a democracy, you speak up, you speak out, you are heard, everybody knows, and everybody respects the view and vision of others. Knowing what the others look for, are doing, everybody can take that into account. And as in a normal, healthy society, everybody is symbiotic. They will help each other to realize their goals. And If there is in any way that these goals and aims interfere, then they know that. They will take that into account, they accommodate for that and do things differently. If they find that they agree to disagree, then they talk again and again and again, because out of the ideas which everybody presents, new ideas will form. So the idea that they thought was nice, when it conflicts with the idea which somebody else has, they realize that they do not see the same. And if they do not see the same, then probably they stand back to back. Because if you stand back to back with somebody, what you look at, what you see is totally different, actually the opposite what somebody else sees. But then by knowing that, you realize that you only have half of the story. The other has the other half of the story. You need to trust each other. And when you mutually respectfully, and recognize each other, you trust that the view of the other complements and completes your own. So in a democracy, every seeming opposition of view is extended, elaborated, explored, discovered, so that it is seen what the total picture is of these seemingly opposite views. And then out of that integral picture, which evidently nobody saw, more is seen, more is understood, and then the new solution comes, which makes it possible for all to recognize the goal, which is shared, even though it seemed to be so opposite at the start. So democracy is the place where everybody presents their views, understand the views of others, explore differences of perspective until the new idea comes up which all agree upon. And this is really important, that in a true democracy, everybody will always agree with everybody, because everybody simply talks about what they are doing themselves so that others can know that. They're not telling other people what to do. They're not telling other people how to do it. They're not telling other people what not to do. So there is a very different society. And Sandra, as you asked, I will talk about laws, legal laws and illegal laws and unlawful laws at some other point. But it is here that we then see that when people define their own life, they create their own law, then they will create laws which everybody can agree with. For the simple reason that if you make law, you only describe what you are doing in your life, because you cannot conflict with freedom of choice. The freedom of choice, I talked about it before, has four aspects. First of all, every living being has freedom of choice. Secondly, every living being needs to respect the freedom of choice of other living beings. Third, if you make a choice, you need to be responsible for the whole sequence of consequences of the choice that you made. And fourth is when you make choices which affects others and others count on you making that choice, then you must be reliable. And if you find that you need to change your choice, that you need to change your decision, then everybody who was involved with you having made a choice and participating in the sequence of consequences of that, you need to renegotiate with them, make clear why you need to change your decision, because you realize that the choice that you made was based on incomplete information, so that they too have the complete information, that they understand why you need to do things differently, and that they can see how and if they need to do things differently too. And so democracy is an ongoing exploration of the fulfillment of potential. So that is part of the story of legal law and illegal law, which I will be talking about separately. But I also wish to connect that up to the principle of evolution, which I've described separately, but which I will bring into this story, because it helps understand that the decline, the decay, and the collapse of democracy is just a simple general principle, because we can also see it in the same way in the description of evolution. That is a story in itself, but let me just summarize it, because it is so relevant for understanding the principle at work here. In the story of evolution, I looked into the way people learn to understand evolution. And essentially, there's three interpretations of that. Most people are schooled into believing that Darwin had the right way of looking at it. But actually, he is given so much attention because Darwin was the way to get out of the grip, the control grip, the mind control of the Church of Rome. The Church of Rome said that they have a book, which they actually wrote themselves, in which it says that evolution or creation took place in a specific way. And Darwin said, well, actually, we don't have to believe that. And by simply stating that, he made it possible to stop believing the church, stop being dependent on that church, and letting go of that mind control by that church, of which the Inquisition was simply an enforcement example. And by the story of Darwin and previously Galileo, we know that we need to think for ourselves. We need to grow up. We cannot remain being a baby, just suckling what is given to us. We need to, as a child, know what we like and don't like. And as a lesson, we need to know how to take care of providing what we like and get rid of what we don't like. And as an adult, we need to know that what we don't like, somebody else might like, and in this way, we complement and complete each other. So Darwin's story was important, but mainly for political reasons, to get out of that controlled grip of the Roman Church. Unfortunately, it was also important for a different reason, another political reason, and that is that the story of Darwin has been hijacked by the Industrial Revolution people. In England, the farms have moved into the factories. Instead of people working together on the harvest, they worked together on machines. Instead of them sharing the harvest, they became dependent on money. And for those people working those factories, not working in those factories, but working, making those factories, they thought it was really important to have people believe that life is about competition. Basically, Darwin formulated and expressed the ideas of Marcuse, and Marcuse said, with an increase of population, there will be a decrease of available food. So that's problematic, so we need to fight for food, and that is what Darwin then told everybody. Darwin, however, elaborated on the ideas of Wallace, which said that biology, life, evolves in a changing environment. It is not about survival of the fittest, but survival by fitting in. If the environment changes, you adapt, you adopt, you learn, you improve, and you find new solutions. So if there's less food, then you start to eat something differently. The whales understood that already, and they eat plankton, of which there is abundant. So humans can learn from the whales and eat something else than what they ate before and discover that in those other food forms there is an abundance more than there will be people on Earth ever. So Wallace already understood that. We need to adapt in the circumstances. And Wallace had taken his ideas from Lamarck, who said, well, actually, the circumstances always change, we always change, and that capacity or capability to adapt is built in us. So when the circumstances change, we can look within us and see how we can change with the circumstances, and then life goes on. That idea of evolution needs to be taken one step further, because later than Lamarck, Wallace, and Darwin was Lynn Margulis with her story. And she said, well, if you look at the microbes, that what the whales eat and what we could eat, then you can see that these microbes have been able to evolve immensely, not just by microbes being able to live in the earth, in the water, in the air, and with light, the alchemy of life, but they were actually able to combine those four qualities. And in forming the eukaryote cell, they have the combination of the anaerobic, the hydrobic, the aerobic, and the photosynthesizing microbes in the eukaryote cell. So in her approach, it is never about survival of the fittest, or it's about fitting in or knowing that we can fit in, but it is about something much more advanced. It is that within us we have the capacity to transcend our limitations by complementing and completing our perspectives, because essentially we will by definition always have our blind spot. We will by definition always have a limited perspective, an incomplete perspective. But by combining the opposites, we can not compete but complete each other. And then by synergy, we survive. And that is the core of democracy. That in that way, described by Lynn Margulis, in society, in symbiosis, we complement and complete each other and are so full of rich experience that we are able to transcend any limitations we come to. Because somebody will have lived that, somebody will have resolved that, or somebody will be able to. And as a result, everybody will be able to. Democracy, the power of democracy, is the communication, not about problems, but about solutions. Not about limiting problems by putting laws in place as a result of which people cannot do that anymore, but by increasing communication as a result of which everybody can know what that problem is, the solutions for the problems can unfold, and the problem itself can be prevented. That's a totally different way of thinking than what is seen in democracies now. And in a full democracy, that is actually the power of people coming together, talking about their experience, talking about the problems that they have, sharing the solutions that they have, and always you will find that there are more solutions than there are problems. So that is democracy. That is when everybody speaks up and everybody participates, which with computers now is easily possible. And actually, in Project Planting Paradise, that is the whole concept, that everybody at the computer participate in government. They can present their solutions, they can share their problems, find that the problems have solutions, and then are able to prevent solutions and together do more. And that's essentially the abundance of life. That's also what you see in life. You plant one grain and a whole tree comes out, a whole sheaf of corn comes out. You get back in abundance. Nature is about generosity and not about scarcity. So when we look at the difference between life and democracy with the sharing of wisdom and see what happens now, then we can see that the biology of the farm has been replaced by the piracy of the pirate ship. On a ship, you don't have more resources than you loaded as a cargo. While you're on the trip, you will have to eat what you took along, so the supplies will diminish. And that is actually what oikonomia, in Greek, classic Greek survival society was about. Oikonomia is that you need to have a little booklet in which you know at the beginning of winter how much food you have on the farm, so that you're able to survive the winter. So in the boat, oikonomia, the householding booklet, became economy, the counting of the beans. And while on the farm you can regrow in spring, on the ship you cannot. So in economics, you are always dealing with losses. The storm will wreck the ship, the pirates will plunder the ship, things might rot on the ship, and what you bring to the other side of the trip might be less than you loaded into the boat. So with that perspective, you can see that biology, which works with abundance, is different than piracy, which works with shortages, and that we need to understand that the fall down and the decline of democracy has to do with that change of perspective of open systems, abundance, to closed systems and scarcity, and that what we now see as decline of democracy is actually created by closed mind thinking. So we don't see democracy around the world. We do not see that people in symbiosis help each other, unfold abundance, create immense resources. The only place where we have seen that recently in history was in the United States of America. Before the English banking system took control again, while people were still helping each other because they were able to do what they needed to do, wanted to do, and were helping each other in order to do so. That changed when a government was put in place, separate from the United States. As not everybody knows, the Freemason created Washington. Washington with 666 miles, or how many miles was it? Number of sixes in there. They had the belief that everything needed to be under control. And as a result, all of the states in the United States of America are still free states. But on it was superimposed a government system, which was then later taken over. The original intent was pure and clear, even though they were derived from slaveholders having slaveholder mentality. But they nevertheless intended to have free states interacting with each other, let's say as organs in a body. But then the decline came because the states no longer represented themselves. Say the federal government pretended that it could speak on behalf of the states or instead of the states, or tell the states what to do for specific things. And the kind of specific things that they said that they could or should do increased more and more. So they took away control over the free state by superimposing something, by essentially false contract, and gave people a false understanding by a misrepresentation. And that's why I use that word democracy. At the moment that you have representatives talking on your behalf, then they can easily become misrepresentatives. And if you have elected politicians who can be elected once per 4 years, but can be lobbied every day or four times per day, then those politicians no longer represent you, but they represent other interests. So at the moment that you have this misrepresentation, then you cannot believe, you cannot trust that representative government anymore, for the simple reason that it doesn't represent you. It represents other interests, specifically if These states then declare that they have state secrets, as more and more states pretend that they are entitled to do nowadays. Of course, states cannot have state secrets because they represent the population. But they start to have state secrets when they want to monopolize resources and are representing the corporations. And as a result, you cannot trust those representatives anymore, because they no longer represent you, but they represent interests that you do not know of. So that's why it is a democracy. It just fools you. And they're fooling themselves and pretending that they still represent you. This essentially, that already veers towards a conspiracy. And the conspiracy, when that actually sets in, when the so-called democratic representatives no longer represent you, then you get into the state of the demo crazy, the crazy people. The crazy people has to do with the concept of vertigo. Vertigo is a contagious virus of false belief, a virus of mental superstition. Mental virus of superstition. But superstition can only exist when people take over the false ideas of others. So in a democracy, people are deceiving themselves. In a democracy, people are deceiving each other. It is like a different axis. The self-deceiving is like vertically down. The deceiving others is horizontal, aimed at you and everybody else. And that arises when politicians create a system of law, again elaborated in the illegal laws, that they create a system of law in which they distort the laws so that they claim that they have authorities over you and over others and over themselves, which was not agreed upon at the start. So that's where you then see that the voting is limited. People cannot freely vote. In a normal vote, you would have the A, the nay, the blank, and the undecided. And all of these votes would be equally valid and equally important. If you vote A, yes, you agree with something, and in a way you make a verbal contract with the representative to do that as was being proposed. And when the representative no longer does that, that representative is in breach of contract and needs to be removed. And when that is not done, then that is crazy. Likewise, when you vote nay, then that representative should get an anti-vote. So whoever votes on them, you veto that other vote, as a result of which a lot of the representative will not be able to speak up and speak out. You probably know a reason why you do not trust that representative, and you know why that representative needs to be removed from that list. In a normal, natural, healthy and sane democracy, you would compose the list of people that you want to choose for. It's not that you can choose between people, but you can put people on that list, including yourself, to be elected, to be selected. And if you are not free to put people on that list, then you already do not have a democracy. If you need to form a political party to be able to join that list that people can vote for, then there is already something wrong, because there should be nothing between you and God. There should be nothing between you and representing yourself. So if you have a political party that needs to be formed because a law says so, you already know that there is a democracy at work. Especially if you then discover, in forming a political party, that there is a law which says that you need to have enough money to form a political party, then you have another confirmation that you're working with a deep nay, no, for those people, to not allow them into government. Just as you would select what kind of food you eat and what kind of food you don't eat, you need to know what kind of people can go into government and what people should not go there. So the nay needs to be in the voting ballot. Likewise, if you vote blank, that means that you actually are not clear about the choice which is there. It is unclear what is being presented. You don't trust them, you cannot vote for anybody, you cannot vote against anybody. There is not enough clarity for you to cast your vote, to have your voice be heard. So in that case, you need to vote blank, because you basically don't have enough information. And if enough people vote blank, then that election are very clear about not having clarity for the voting process. A new election needs to be called for. And of course, you do know that you live in a democracy. When votes are being, election lists are being proposed, and on the election list you see names of people, and then there is a description, like a little postcard message, of what they say that they will do. But if you cannot check if they actually will do that, and you cannot check if they actually said that, there might be misrepresentation at that level already. But also, it may never be the case that if they put that ballot of that is what they stand for, that later they then by law have the freedom to not do that. There are many countries in which they have a kind of freedom to not do what they said. Normally, these are laws in the form of that they can rule without having to consult, without having to inform. That is a sign of democracy, because if these people represent you, of course they need to inform you. Otherwise, they would be operating in conspiracy. And also, if they do something else than that they said that they would do, they're in breach of contract. So that is where voting blank is needed. People need to know what representative actually stand for. They need to discuss that. They must be able to question that. They must be able to affirm that contract. They must be able to rectify the contract. So it must never be so that a politician or a political party says, well, this is what we will do. No, this is what first needs everybody in the country. And then everybody in the country can say, well, this is not how it works. Or this is a good idea. Yes, please, I agree with that. And when I vote for you, I count on you doing exactly that. So when people do not discuss political parties, and the view of the political parties and the political program of the political parties before the election, you know that there's something very wrong in that society, probably living in a democracy. Because in a healthy society, people would discuss this political program. They would come together. They would have debates, not somebody asking a politician, what is your view on this matter? And then they can't give any answer because they know that once they have been elected, they can do something totally different. No, instead, in all of these discussions, it must be made clear what they really said, how they're going to realize that, and not by kind of speculation or let's just tax everybody and then everybody pays for it. But instead, to be very clear how that is accounted for, how they will take the responsibility for that, and what they will do if they cannot do that, and in a way that they know that if they are in breach of contract, that they cannot remain there. In the United States, that would be called, you revoke your vote. So having discussed the yes, the no, and the maybe, and the don't, we now get to the don't know, the abstention of the vote. When people abstain from voting, that is a very clear and explicit indication that they disagree with the proposition of whatever is being presented in that vote. And the whole voting process needs to be annulled. A referendum needs to be called for, because whatever was proposed by the government is evidently not what people agree with, because they abstained from voting. And so if 70% of the people is not voting, that means that 70% of the people is actually calling for a different voting proposition. And that can be that the different way of these and selecting politicians, different way for affirming the kind of contract that is being created, and on the whole, that there is a need to reconsider what the government is doing, because if there's 70% of people not voting, the government misrepresents 70%, thinks up and wants to apply, does not apply for 70% of the population. And the idea that it would apply for the silent majority is crazy, because the majority is silent because it has been silenced, because a whole set of illegal laws had been put in place. And so that's one of the indications that you're dealing with a democracy. It doesn't work for the simple reason that there's a lot of falsifications at work, which is not just to make it ridiculous as in a democracy, but which makes it serious as a democracy. So then we go to the fourth level of the decline, the decline and the collapse of democracy, into what I then call demoncracy, which crassi, demons, are the devils, the people who mislead. There's a whole extensive understanding in many cultures about the devil, the deceiver, the misleader, the shaitan, pretends to be enlightened, but is actually darkening. Principle, a conspiracy, a deception, a misrepresentation. And in a demon crazy, you can see that the representatives are no longer representing you. They are no longer representing your interests. They're not even representing the people that you work with. So they are representing the companies, the businesses, the branches of activity that you form part of. But instead, they represent totally different interests. And in a democracy, you can already see that many of the politicians eliminate the population in their consideration, that they do not want to deal with the population, instead to organize itself into groups, because they only want to interact with groups. And in most of the democracies turned democracies, you see that the politicians are no longer looking for contact, no longer inviting contact with the different groups in society, but they have established contact relations. And actually, in a democracy, you can see that the nations have registered as corporations, that they are no longer a nation, but they are a corporation, that they're no longer working for the people, but they're working for money. That's crazy. Because a bank is an external priesthood, it's a superstition, a political religion, which is outside of government. And as you can see in many nations, they are actually using taxation, using money instead of goods or services. And they are actually dependent on the banking system. So a democracy has then become a representative of the banking interest. And those banking interests is where you then actually need government as a democracy, because the bankers are ruling the society, they're ruling the nation. They're not just ruling that nation, but they're also ruling another nation. We've just seen that in this craziness of the COVID story, where politicians from different parties, from different countries, were suddenly saying exactly the same sentence, which means that they did not think it off. They were not representing you, they were not representing themselves, they are representing somebody else. The politician had become a puppet. And then, of course, you need to look for the puppet master, the demon which pulls their strings. The main demon, as has been described in so many stories, Dr. Faustus is one of the very clear, is the banker. So in the Faustus story, the devil is the banker. And in many other stories too, you can see that the banking system is understood to be a deception, a falsehood. Fiduciary meaning money means fictitious money, means money that doesn't exist. And so as a superstition, people are made to believe that their life, which we then experience as the values as the money and their meanings as their laws, are no longer under their control. They cannot make their own laws. They cannot make their own banking system, which means that they are being controlled by outside, by interest over which they have no control, which means that they don't have freedom of choice, which means they don't have a soul that they can live with. It means that they have lost control over their lives, and they are signing with their blood, bleeding their life energy in the work that they do to make other people richer. They live as slaves. And that, of course, connects to the understanding of the Roman Church, which was sent up for the purpose of a political slave system. The Roman culture was a slave culture. All of the occupied and subjugated other nations paid taxes so that the Roman citizens lived for free, a very parasitical situation. And it is that parasitical situation which is then the essence of the democracy, living off the nation. And that is of the decline from democracy to democracy to democracy to democracy, which is the decline from health to ill to sick to in that specific form of government. And this morning I had a dream in which I realized that the solution is actually very simple. And the solution is actually based on that same mindset. The whole themology of God and devil, or good and evil, is actually a theme in the Bible. And in that story, God and devil represent the open system and the closed system, freedom of choice and absence of freedom of choice. Absence of freedom of choice is called selling your soul, or being without soul, soulless, being dead. And being dead, or having sold your soul, that's where it connects to the demon, the hell, is then where you can understand how democracy, democracy and demoncracy are simple stages of collapse from health to ill to sick to dead, soulless. In the Bible, that book that has been written to manipulate, control lots of people, there is that part of the story. It was written as a blueprint for behavior of other people, the revelations, and then the part of that called the rapture, which basically says that if you get stuck in the development of life, where actually life has been turned into hell, which we now see with people thinking up the idea of a cashless society, which means because if you're obliged to live on credit, you always live in debt. But also, if you pay for everything in a credit card, even to get onto a bus and to get off it, then you are basically a slave in a cattle farm, where you are tracked and traced by a tag in your ear like cattle, and that you sold when you get their services for free, that being sold as cattle, you are living in hell. And with digital currency, that simply means that you cannot go anywhere, you cannot pay for anything without permission. So you're living in freedom, but you have only liberty. Freedom is what you have, and liberty is what you get if you are living under subjugation. So once you realize that, and you realize that you live in hell, which has been described in the Bible as the end of days, and the devil takes over, the banker takes over, then in the Bible there is that description that those who still believe in God, that means that those people who simply do not participate. Some people simply interpret that as God will come and change your diapers. You're in the mess and you will be taken away from Earth. Earth as the big diaper, the hell that people collectively they turn it into because you and others decided to play along with the democracy. You entered into the democracy and you let it decay into democracy. You let yourself be ruled by people who take away your freedom instead of realizing that you always have freedom of choice. In that dire situation, you still participate in a belief like watching a movie or going into trance in some kind of hypnosis. Advertising politics plays with that. You bought into that story, you sold out your life, your blood, do so. You bought a ticket for the ride, and the ride takes you into a smashing dead end. You ending dead, because you're being lived instead of living. So with that understanding of the biblical end of times, which is basically your end of your times, then the solution is very simple, saving you. It is not about the second coming of the Christ, a savior coming to pull you out of the shit, but it is about you realizing that Christ simply means consciousness. Jesus was human, being lived by beliefs, by memory, in a way living in the past, living in the known, and Christ lives in the unknown with the conviction of faith and realizing that we are all part of an ongoing creation. We are living in the full freedom to play along or to turn it into something else. Planet Earth is like a painting. It has been half painted, but you can paint it over, you can overwrite it and put something else instead. And in that way, you can change the painter of a rich spiritual understanding and knowledge from somewhere else. We all meet up here to share our experiences and together show and see what is possible here. And as a result, that we are not living in hell, but we are creators in creation. Earth is a playground in which we can develop our soul. Losing your soul and selling your soul is part of the game that is possible here. But if you wake up from that and realize that the transition from democracy to democracy to democracy to democracy is a simply collapse of a system, because you bought into the ticket, but you can get out of that cinema. You do not have to participate in the crash landing that some people decided that they want to play. They can happily play that together. And as you know, there's 1% of the people who think that by... But the only thing that you need to do is say, well, I don't play you Monopoly money game anymore. I make my own money. I have my own values. I make my own laws. I have my own meaning. I deregister from government. And I'm going to live in rapture. I'm going to live in paradise because I know that I have freedom of choice. And I now choose to not participate in your game anymore. And discover that others have done that too. And then you can meet up with those others, and you discover that there is millions of you per country, and that there's only 30 or 100 or 300 politicians, so that they can, all of them, happily play their game, but you no longer participate. And at some point, because the politicians are misleaders, the politicians are not even just crazy enough to follow the ideas of crazy people. They become puppets of thoughts put onto other people, onto the politicians, onto the police, onto the population. And then if first you get your game, then the police, as policemen and policewomen, as part of the population, realize that that's not a good game, that they're not there as devils and agents of hell to harm people, but they are there as agents of God and angels to heal people. And that, of course, brings it back to that simple parable of good and evil, or angel and devil. Angel as the messenger of the good stuff, devil as if people are there suppressing, denying, limiting the freedom of choice of others, then they are the demon-crazy crowd. And if people instead realizing that they are helping each other and can help each other more, then they're the democracy crowd, and then they actually realize that they can only help each other themselves and as themselves help each other, not by having something in between them, just as there can be nothing between you and God, there can be nothing between you and a fellow human. We are all cells in the body of humanity, and there is no institution or institute or crazy anybody who can sit in between and say, well, if you want to help the other, you have to do it my way. No, you're already doing it your way. You're trying to help, will tell you, well, actually, you're not helping me, you're harming me, you're not an angel, you're a devil, so be gone. I need to do this myself, or I'll find other people who can help me. So, in a way, I now elaborated the story a bit further than initially thought, because I had to include the understanding of evolution and the evil, and the understanding of belief and superstition. And that is also the essence of the whole story. If you believe in others, then you can develop devil and dependency and addictions essentially end up living in hell. But if you live in yourself and learn to believe in yourself and share that with others so that they too can believe in themselves and live their own essence and discover that there is a reason why single-cellular organisms created multicellular bodies. A single-cellular organism, a uniformity, call it socialism or communism, everybody is reduced to the common denominator, which is basically the most limited form of being, while in a multicellular organism, it is the richness of variety of possibilities for expressing consciousness and for living free will, just as we see in biology, and that together people can do wonderful things. Instead of harming each other and hurting the planet, they can heal each other and create paradise on Earth. Democracy and democracy is simply a collapse, not just of society, but also of your participation in society. And then you can realize that the pathway to healing is that you no longer participate in the disease. In traditional cultures, they call it reconnecting to God. That you in the planets, you can see it in the solar system, you can see it in Earth, you can see it in nature, you can see it in all life form, the wide variety of it. The law of the jungle is not the survival of the fittest, but essentially it boils down to if you communicate, you're fed. If you don't communicate, you're food. If you connect, if you're in symbiosis, more and more abundance comes out. And if you don't communicate and live in your own little hell, then please make way for others so that they can live fully. F-U-L-L-Y. and not as in a democracy, F-O-O-L-Y, foolishly. So, it's your choice. Which game do you want to play?